You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
From the 12th floor of 50 Penn Place in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, the home of 1340 The Game and News Radio 1000 KTOK, welcome to the Locked On Sooners podcast Monday episode. I am your gracious and humble host, Derek G., saying thank you so much for making us a part of your day. Coming up on Locked On Sooners, we'll hear a lot from Lincoln Riley today as OU gets set for Revenge Week, taking on Iowa State. And we'll talk, obviously, a lot about Rodney Anderson and what his absence means for OU. Will Rodney Anderson come back and play next year? Will he go to the NFL? How much of a load will Kyler Murray carry in the running game? We'll attempt to answer all those questions coming up in segment number one. In segment number two, we'll talk about the meat grinder that is college football and what exactly Rodney Anderson is going through now and what injured players go through when they can't participate but are yet still around their teammates and how that affects them mentally, emotionally. And Kyler Murray will also, well, I'll let you hear some audio from Kyler Murray that explains how OU has sort of adopted the Patriot way when asking about injuries and dealing with situations like they are this week. In segment number three, we'll hear from Lincoln Riley. He will tell us whether or not he feels his defense has been tested in these first couple of games and just what OU has to do to prepare for another team where you don't know who their quarterback is going to be. Iowa State facing the same question that both UCLA and Florida Atlantic did in the first couple of games. So how difficult will that be to prepare for the Cyclones? My name's Eric G. I want to thank you for joining us today. If you don't know who I am, and this is the first time you're listening to the Locked On Thunder podcast, I work for 1340 The Game in Oklahoma City, as well as News Radio 1000 KTOK. I am the co-host of Saturday Game Day with Randy Renner that airs at 5 o'clock on Saturdays, hence the name Saturday Game Day, on KTOK, then at 9 o'clock on 1340, and around the state at different times on the Oklahoma News Network. It's our 30-minute primer to get you ready for the college football season as we hit all the big topics. So give it a listen. Tell us what you think. You can also get that on the iHeartRadio app. And because the Locked On Podcast Network likes me to say this, I'm a credentialed member of the media. I've been covering OU for 4.5 years. I'm a graduate of OU and a Roughneck alum. So with all that, let's jump into the meat of it because we got a lot of ground to cover in a short amount of time. As we found out yesterday, unfortunately, after we had already recorded and published our podcast, Rodney Anderson out for the year with Oklahoma. And the first question that, of course, Al Eschbeck asked during the press conference today was, one, what is the injury specifically to Rodney Anderson? And two, will you do running back by committee? And here is exactly what Lincoln Riley had to say on those situations.
Yeah, just talking with Rodney and his family, I think we're just going to leave it at just a knee injury that's going to end the season right now. And they're, you know, they've got a little bit of time here to decide the best course of action for here, you know, from here for his future. So, you know, our people will be very involved with that. Yeah, and then as the backs here go forward, it's just going to be based on performance. You know, if we kind of like we were last year for a large part of the season, if all those guys are performing well but nobody is really just totally outplaying the other, then I'm sure we'll play a bunch of those guys. If we get a guy that gets hot or really starts playing at a high level, we'll certainly, you know, feed him more reps and with that more opportunities. So we feel good about those four. You know, it's going to be good for T.J. Pledger and Kenny Brooks to be able to get more reps, not only game reps, but just throughout the week of practice. That'll be big for their development. And, you know, it'll be very similar to the beginning of last year where we felt like we had good players and we just, you know, we kept feeding them the ball. Guys had different big games. I think we had three different guys last year rush for 140-plus in a game. So we got guys that are capable. They've got a really good offensive line blocking for them, and we don't expect any drop-off.
Unless you have an Adrian Peterson and or a DeMarco Murray, I've always kind of looked at running back by committee every year at OU for the most part. And even though Rodney Anderson had a great year last year, Lincoln Riley just said it right there. OU for a lot of the time last year went with the hot hand, and Bob Stoops did that as well. And even if there is that featured back, there's always going to be somebody come in to spell him because you can't hand him the ball every single time and put the wear and tear on a running back's body. And in the NFL, yes, you have featured backs, but look at how many teams, the Patriots being a great example of this, have gone running back by committee and been able to be successful. It's really weird how the running back position has been devalued to the point of both college and the NFL that it doesn't feel like you need that stud running back in order to succeed, as long as you've got talented running backs that can carry the load and guys can at any point just pop and have that great game and give you an opportunity to have success and win every time that you go out and touch the field. Plus, with OU, the depth is so good at offense. And looking at Oklahoma State's first games or first couple of games and OU's first couple of games, on offense, I don't see OU having stopgap players. And even if something were to happen to Kyler Murray, if Austin Kendall's healthy, I feel okay about OU having success on the offensive line, receiver, running back, wherever. You've just recruited that well in the last few recruiting classes that the depth is tremendous at OU on offense. And it's an embarrassment of riches that should make you relax as an OU fan. Whereas an OSU fan this year, yeah, you've got to worry about quarterback. Is Taylor Cornelius going to be a good enough guy to carry you through the rest of the season? And that's something that Lincoln Riley touched on. With all the guys that you have at running back, it certainly makes it a lot easier to coach week in, week out.
The depth that we've, you know, been able to bring in that room is impactful, and also too, because we don't really have anybody like Dimitri right now, so that could do all those different things. So, yeah, I mean, that's nice to know that you've, again, you hate to lose a guy like Rodney, of course, but to still feel as confident as we do in our run game, in our back specifically, is a good feeling.
Jason's next. Lincoln, given Rodney's three career-ending injuries that he's had, do you expect that he will be back next year, or is that still up in the air?
Well, I fully expect that he'll play. You know, he'll probably have a decision to make of if it's going to be at this level or the next level, and you know, that's that'll be an interesting one, but one that, you know, certainly doesn't have to be made now and won't be. You know, I know, you know, Rodney and his family, you know, I'm sure will, you know, think everything through, and I think it'll be one of those things where this kid, I talked to him last night, and just thinking about it for a while, the injuries that he's had have been kind of isolated. It's not like the guy's gone out there and had four or five knee injuries on the same one. So you know, and the way this kid can rehab, the physical specimen that he is, I told him I don't think this injury is going to have any impact on the rest of his career in football, other than it's just going to delay it a few months. I mean, this guy's so mentally tough, he's so physically gifted, he'll probably come back better. I mean, I would be shocked if he doesn't, whoever he's playing for.
Well, the Dimitri that he was talking about was Dimitri Flowers, and if you're an OU fan, I'm sure you already got that. And then Lincoln, you know, expanding on the depth at running back, and no, you don't have a Dimitri Flowers, but you don't necessarily need him with everybody else you have and the skill sets that they bring to this offense. Now, as far as Rodney Anderson choosing to come back, if you're him, the smart thing is to just go ahead and go into the NFL, depending on where your draft stock is. And that's where things get a little tricky for Rodney Anderson, because how quickly is he going to recover from this knee injury? And when he does recover from this knee injury, what does he look like? What does he look like to pro scouts? What does he grade out draft-wise? And unfortunately, for a guy like Rodney Anderson, it's not like you can go to the NFL Combine or have a pro day or work out for scouts and then decide you're going to come back for another year of college football. You have to decide that soon. So Rodney Anderson, when he rehabs, I'm sure he and his parents, as Lincoln Riley said, will have a long talk about this. But if there's any chance that he could get drafted in the first few rounds, I would just go ahead and not even bother coming back to OU if I'm Rodney Anderson, because it's not worth it putting yourself at any further risk and not being able to make as much money as you're going to make in the National Football League. Also, this puts way more pressure on Kyler Murray to run the ball a lot more than maybe he's comfortable with. But you certainly got the sense today when Garen Emig asked Kyler Murray about running the ball that it didn't seem to bother him at all doing what he did on Saturday against UCLA, being OU's leading rusher.
Do you anticipate Kyler doing your part to make up for Rodney's absence in the run game?
No. Like I said, it's going to be hard to replace Rod, but, I mean, we got Trey, Sal, TJ, KB, and then, you know, when I have to run, I will. So I don't, you know, anticipate running the ball 20 times a game, though.
Are you comfortable with how often you ran it Saturday, for instance, against UCLA?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really feel like I ran it a lot, honestly, but what was it, 10 times? Yeah. No, it really doesn't feel like 10 times, but, I mean, if I have to, I have to. If I don't, I don't.
But you're comfortable with that number? I mean, that's okay. That's, or would you like to even lower that a little bit? Have you?
Whatever it takes to win, yeah.
And prove to me you can stop this offense, because not only will Kyler Murray run, he will throw. Receivers will have big games. You have to prove that you can stop both phases of OU's offense. And so far, nobody's been able to do that. And watching Iowa State on Saturday, they're very physical. They were physical last year when they came into Norman and beat OU, and they were physical against Iowa. Iowa State played much better in that ball game against Iowa than I thought they would. I didn't give them a whole lot of a chance to win that game going into it because Iowa had at least one game under their belt. Iowa State didn't. You usually make a lot of mistakes in that first game, but Iowa State's physical, and they're going to be a confident bunch against OU because they've already beaten them before, and now you get them at Ames, although OU has had a tremendous amount of success at Ames throughout the year, and OU's riding a 16-game road winning streak. But this is going to be a little bit more of a test than maybe what OU's seen in the first couple of games. But still, offensively, don't expect much of a drop-off. And with Iowa State, or with UCLA being committed to stop the run, Iowa State's going to be committed to stop the run. They're going to beg Kyler Murray to beat them, and then OU should go out and beat the Cyclones on Saturday. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I am Eric G. Coming up in segment number two, it's the meat grinder of college football. What is Rodney Anderson going through, and how difficult is it to be in his situation? We talk about it next.
You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast.
Locked On Thunder will be coming up this afternoon, so be on the lookout for that as part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and you'll get to hear from Mo Cheeks from his Friday basketball induction ceremony, and we'll also talk about how the Thunder continue to change the culture of the sporting landscape here in the state of Oklahoma, because a lot of people were fired up about what was going on the sidelines with Thunder basketball on Saturday at the UCLA game, and a lot of people were very excited to be talking Thunder basketball in the press box at OU, and it's amazing how easily Thunder basketball talk just pops up no matter where you are around the state of Oklahoma. So that is what we will discuss today on Locked On Thunder. Rodney Anderson out for the year, and speaking of the Thunder, Andre Roberson went through something very similar that Rodney Anderson's going through. Andre Roberson gets hurt last year at Detroit, is not able to play past January. The Thunder make the playoffs. And for a long time, the Thunder kept Andre Roberson away from us, so we couldn't talk to him. And finally, when we got that opportunity, what we really wanted to know from Andre Roberson was not how soon he was going to be back, but what about the mental toll that being out has taken on you? And I've talked to guys who've played in the NFL, played college football, and when you go through a season-ending injury or an injury that's going to keep you out for an extended period of time, you cease to become part of the team. You're still there. you're around the facility, but while everybody else is practicing and playing games, you're rehabbing. And even if you get the opportunity to be out there with your teammates while they're playing a game or while they're practicing, you're not out there on the field. And it prevents you from forming a further bond with them. No matter how much you go out, no matter what film study you're doing, no matter how you're leading or trying to help somebody get better, you still can't take part in it, and that's devastating. And in a sense, if you're off rehabbing and everybody else is in the locker room getting dressed or everyone else is preparing to go do something else that you're not going to do, it's not that they forget about you, but it's like when one of your friends moves away. Think about it like this for a second. When one of your friends moves away and he's gone for 4 or 5 months, well, now he comes back to visit after that period of time, and while not a whole lot has changed, enough has changed so you know that it can't go back to being the exact way it was. Because you've come up with new inside jokes, you've found new hangouts that you like to go to, you've found new restaurants. All this takes its toll, so that person who's been away says to themselves, man, things are different. I'm not here every day of the week. I don't know all the latest gossip. Man, that sounds really girly. Or I don't know exactly what everyone is doing in their life. Or we're not talking about the same things. You just don't have that bond. And that's difficult for anybody to go through, but especially athletes, because what they will always tell you when they retire, the thing they miss the most is hanging out in the locker room, hanging out with their teammates, and preparing for those games. And also, not having something to look forward to at the end of your week is also devastating. And that really affects guys when they retire, because you work all week long to get to Saturday or get to Sunday. And when you work all week long and then Saturday or Sunday is just a day off, that is an extremely difficult adjustment to make. And most guys don't make it. I think that's why you see a lot of them go into broadcasting, because you do have that Saturday and Sunday that you can work, and it still feels like you're going through something very similar. And that being said, the Oklahoma Sooners are as close to the New England Patriots as any college organization you can get. And what I mean by this is, look at how OU carries itself. Look at the attitude they have when someone gets hurt, which is always next man up. Now, Lincoln Riley is not Bill Belichick. He'll actually answer your questions and not cut you off, and he's very congenial. And as I was mentioning this on Twitter yesterday, no, OU doesn't have the championships that the Patriots do or Alabama does in recent history, but the attitude is there. Similar offenses, you've always got a great running back, dynamic receivers, everybody seems to perform. And then you can even throw in that the defense is questionable. But listen to Kyler Murray, okay? Here's Kyler Murray talking about, in just the first few minutes of his press conference, how the offense changes without Rodney Anderson. And listen to how quickly he goes through the whole idea of first man up.
Has it changed? Obviously, you know, he's been a great player for us for the past 2 years. He's dealt with some injuries. He's overcome adversity. So, this is the University of Oklahoma. You know, we have to reload. Next man has to step up, and I believe we've got the players to do that. So, it's obviously tough losing him, but we got guys that got to step up.
One of those guys is Trey Sermon. What kind of growth have you seen out of him since he arrived here?
A lot. I mean, he's gotten bigger, faster, stronger. Body's, you know, transitioning. You know, and with this time, you know, him being the guy, him and Sel, I think, you know, he'll rise to the occasion, just like Rodney did last year.
You mentioned Marcellus, just his growth from last year to this year. How big has that been?
I mean, we're only two games in, so I can't really, you know, answer all that, but he's definitely showed a lot of improvement. I think he'll just keep getting better.
What kind of guy is Trey? I mean, we see what he can do on a football field, but what kind of guy is he?
He's a really laid-back guy. I would kind of like me a little bit, you know, doesn't do too much talking, really just shows up every day and grinds. I mean, that's the type of guy he is. Like I said, he doesn't really talk a lot, chill guy, but he loves the game.
He obviously played a lot last year as a true freshman. It takes probably a pretty unique personality, special player to do that. What do you think helped him to do that and then carry over to this year? Still as a young guy.
Yeah, Played a lot. I think, you know, he just kind of got in the game and just kind of, you know, his athleticism and game took over, you know, Ohio State, Baylor. Everybody kind of, you know, kind of called him the fourth quarter finisher, whatever it was. But I think, you know, this, like I said, this University of Oklahoma, we got a lot of great running backs come through here, and he's one of them. I mean, he's sophomore year, and he's just ready to grow on it, you know. I think this will be a big year for him in the end, so.
Kyler, you talked a lot about the on-the-field presence of Rodney, but off the field became one of the leaders, one of the team captains. How do you try to replace that?
I don't really think you can, but I don't think we will have to. I know, like I said, it's tough for Rod, you know, going down. You never want to see a guy like that go out, you know, what he's meant to the team. But I think he'll be there every step of the way for us. I know the type of guy he is. He doesn't want to, you know, he doesn't want to be away from us. So, you know, we'll have him, I believe so. And like I said, we just got to have guys step up.
What do you see from Pledger and Brooks, a couple of young guys that a little bit more might be expected from now?
Yeah, no, they've done great jobs since I've been here. I know KB, he's done a great job, and you know TJ coming in this year, he's got all the tools in the world. So for him to, you know, they'll step up. I know, you know, they've gotten a lot of playing time the past 2 weeks, so things should be good for them.
Felt like that whole thing was taken out of the Bill Belichick playbook on how to go do a press conference with, you know, a little better answers. Okay, Kyler Murray's going to give you more than Bill Belichick is, and I've already said Lincoln Riley does too, but next man up, can't replace the leadership. We just got to go out there and do our job, just all quintessential things. And I guess you can make the argument that it's out of the sports playbook, but in this day and age of media, there are guys that will share a little bit more, but I just get the sense that OU, so tight-knit, has adopted that mantra, and it's not a bad mantra to adopt, even if it does drive you crazy as a member of the media. But all in all, there it is. That's what OU has going for it. The Patriot way, the OU way, whatever you want to call it, it's on full display down in Norman, Oklahoma. And coming up next here on the Locked On Sooners podcast, we'll finish up. Does Lincoln Riley think his defense has been tested? We'll tell you next.
This is Locked On Sooners, your team every day.
Locked On Thunder will be coming out at the same time the Locked On Sooners does today. So, hey, feel free to listen to both podcasts. I would appreciate if you would listen to both podcasts and tell all your friends about Locked On Sooners. I'm very happy to be doing this show, and I think we just get better and better every day. And we try and bring you as much audio as we can and as much different perspective as we can. And Locked On Thunder today, you hear from O Cheeks. We talk about the state of Oklahoma becoming a basketball state now. Well, is it a basketball state? We'll discuss it on Locked On Thunder. And what else will we get to? We'll get to the news around the NBA. All that's coming up. But thank you very much for listening to stellar performances from OU's defense in the first two games. So much so that everybody's talking about OU being really good in all three phases of the games. And you've got to go back to the early 2000s. To when OU was really good at offense, defense, and special teams. We'll talk more about special teams tomorrow. But as far as the defense goes, one of the knocks against them is the first two teams that they've played, Florida Atlantic and UCLA, not that good. Both teams looking for a quarterback. Does Lincoln Riley think his defense has been tested? Well, here's what he had to say.
Yeah, no, I think we've definitely been tested. I mean, I saw, you know, what game two, I saw Chris Robinson threw for, I think, 470 yards. So, you know, and I think UCLA is going to do some really good things offensively throughout the year, too. So, you know, we'll continue to see great ones. I mean, we know that when we get into this conference. I mean, you're going to see great offenses. There's no doubt about that. So we'll continue to be tested. But I do think we're better in the front seven. I mean, I really do. I think we've taken some steps there. We're going to have to continue to grow. We're going to have to stay healthy. But I think we're better there, and I think if our young players in the secondary continue to improve the way they are, then you know, we've got a chance. And like I said, I still think people on the outside forget that, you know, we've played a lot of good defensive games here over the last few years. I mean, you don't win three straight Big 12s and go to the playoff twice playing no defense. You know, we've had some games here and there where we have not played well, and I think sometimes those stand out in people's minds. But we've had some excellent games too. And so, you know, for this group, you know, what you're banking on is the mentality, especially up front, that some of the depth, some of the talent that we have defensively, that's going to allow us to do that more consistently. We've done it, you know, two games in a row here, but we need to go do it again here against Iowa State.
You've had good defensive games. Games being single, okay, it's plural, but I mean single, but there's never been just there hasn't been in a very long time a consistent defensive performance week in, week out. So yes, there have been games here and there, and unfortunately for the OU defense, we're just going to assume, wrongly, but we're going to assume that they're not tested when they have games like they do against UCLA and Florida Atlantic, because we don't see those teams very good. And it won't be until OU has that game where they give up a ton of points or a ton of yardage, then we'll say that they're tested, but obviously they didn't look that good, or until they play a big-time opponent and completely shut them down. And unfortunately, as crummy as the Big 12 has looked so far this year, it might not be until the West Virginia game or the Oklahoma State game where we really feel this team is being tested. But then again, there is Baylor coming up in a couple of weeks, and that game always has me scared to death. Another thing that Iowa State has in common with the first two teams that OU's playing is that they don't know who their quarterback is going to be. Kyle Kemp got hurt against Iowa this past week and did not finish that game. If he doesn't play, it'll be Zeb Nolan, and we saw him against Oklahoma State and Baylor last year. And does it really bother Lincoln Riley for the third straight week to be facing a guy or not knowing what kind of quarterback or what quarterback they're going to be facing?
No sense how it's going to shake out. I mean, he's, you know, either going to be ready to play or he's not. You know, I know they've got a backup that they feel really good about. You know, it's had a little bit of game experience too. So, I think they, you know, they are who they are, you know, and we all are. I mean, you know, each guy may have a little bit different talent here or there, and there may be a few things new here or there, but you've just got to be ready to adjust. And so we're going to have to be able to do that defensively, regardless of who they play. And, you know, if we can play sound assignment football like we have and fly to the ball, then I like our chances of playing well.
In his two games against Oklahoma State and Baylor, Nolan, 36 of 66, 533 yards, along with a couple of touchdowns. So could prove to be a formidable opponent. But as we said earlier, OU 16-0 on the road. Current 16-game win streak going into Ames with a major chip on their shoulder. And when we come back tomorrow on Locked On Sooners, Ben Powers will talk about that major chip that OU has on their shoulder and just how ready they are for the Cyclones. We'll get to that. We'll talk more about Shane Beamer's impact on OU. We'll hear from Lincoln Riley. We'll hear from Kyler Murray. All that's coming up on Locked On Sooners Tuesday's episode. Until then, I want to say God bless you and your family. Be safe and sound. Everybody love everybody. And as always, peace, love, and Boomer Sooner.
You are Locked On Sooners, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell Alexa or Google to play podcast Locked On. Don't worry, I won't finish. You get the idea.